My name's Peter. This is the Dead Air Radio Show. I'm going to talk a little bit about my friend Steve Kaika tonight. A lot of you know Steve, and a lot of you know that I played in a band with Steve for a long time, like 35 years almost. But what a lot of you might not know is that I knew Steve longer than that. Steve and I were friends for about 40 years, so what I'm going to do tonight is maybe play some stuff that makes me think of Steve before the Reducers, before the stuff you may be familiar with, kind of the Steve I knew when we were young lads, teenagers. Let me put it this way. How about the seminal Steve? So, it might surprise you. It may repulse you. It was a different time, you know. It was the 70s, but when I met Steve, he was like a hard rocking high school kid. Or just out of high school, maybe. And he was listening to a lot of stuff like this. So, in case you came in late, what I'm doing here is I'm talking about my late friend Steve Kaika, who hopefully a lot of you knew, and hopefully a lot more of you knew about. And I'm just trying to tell you a little bit more about him that maybe you didn't know, because Steve was a friend of mine for 40 years, and what I guess I'm trying to talk about is maybe the first 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years I knew him, when we were just kind of learning about music. And back then we had, well, what we didn't have is we didn't have like big life issues and jobs and work and families that we had to take care of, and we had like lots and lots of time to listen to music and to go and buy records and go and listen to bands, and it was really inexpensive to go hear music. And one thing listening to those songs I was just playing, one thing that brought to mind is Steve had this, Steve had more money than I did, among other things, because he had a job before I did, because I pursued school longer than Steve did. And one thing Steve spent his money on is automobiles. And he had a Chevrolet Camaro that he was always working on, and it quickly became, I'm quite sure it became street illegal. He had an engine in it that was just ungodly. And in order to hear his music in this ungodly, powerful Chevrolet automobile, he had the most amazing in-car stereo system that I have encountered to this day, to tell you the truth. And, you know, gas cost 35 cents. And we would drive around and listen to cassette tapes. And he always had tons of new cassette tapes. And we would listen to, well, let's think. What did we just listen to there? We started off with something from Jethro Tull's third album, Benefit, a song called Teacher. And after that, we heard from the great ZZ Top album, Dres Hombres, we heard Jesus Just Left Chicago. And if you've never heard that, like roaring down 95 at top volume, well, you haven't lived, folks. And a band I never would have known anything about, and maybe you've never heard of, Steve loved this band Trapeze, which is the next thing we heard. And we heard the title track from an album called You Are the Music, We're Just the Band. And all I really know about Trapeze is they had a guy on bass and vocals who ended up in Deep Purple. And Steve loved that band. And once again, on his stereo in his car, they sounded like God Almighty. And another band Steve always loved was a band called Cactus, who had the rhythm section from the Vanilla Fudge, Tim Bogart, and Carmen Appice. Personally, I never really cared for that rhythm section, but Steve loved them. And we heard a song called Let Me Swim from Cactus's self-titled album. And at the end there, we heard Two Rolling Stone from Robin Trower's album, Bridge of Sighs. This is all stuff that when I met Steve, when we were both about 17 years old, it's the stuff Steve was listening to. And I'll add, as if I had to, listening to at top volume. Here's another good story about Steve. I'd go visit Steve, and he was living with his parents. And I'd pull up at his house, and it was like a cartoon. And I'm kind of joking, but I'm also not joking. The house would be, I won't say literally, because it couldn't be literally, but it was almost rocking on its foundation, like a cartoon. And I'd get out of my car, and the whole neighborhood would be vibrating with the sound that was coming from Steve's bedroom. And he would have his stereo, and his stereo in his bedroom was just as loud as his stereo in his car. And he would have it cranked up to like Toad's Place levels, if that makes sense to you. And he would be playing along with it at a volume that could keep up with the stereo. And the house would just be vibrating and the neighborhood would be echoing. And I'd walk in and his mother would be sitting in the living room, which would be shaking. And she'd just smile at me and nod and kind of yell to me, "You can hear, he's up there." And I'd go up and find Steve in his bedroom listening to whatever the most recent album he'd bought and playing along to it at ungodly volume. So anyway, this is just to set the stage. And once again, we're kids. Steve was definitely like a heavy rock guy. And it was fun times. I'll throw in, you know, I mean, it's probably pretty obvious because we're talking about the 70s. There was some recreational drugs involved. You know, that wasn't a big factor, but that it was there. There. I've said it. So in case you've joined me late here, I'm just trying to add a little insight into my late friend Steve Kaika, who passed away recently. A lot of you know him from the band we had together, the Reducers, and that's a great way to know him, but I was lucky enough to know him a little bit earlier than that, and I'm just trying to add that insight to yours. And I'm playing songs that I remember Steve liking a lot and Steve listening to a lot. And it's fun for me to listen to. Hopefully it's enjoyable for you all to listen to. What we just heard there, for instance, was Walk Away by the James Gang with Joe Walsh on guitar and lead vocals. That's from their third album called, imaginatively enough, Thirds. Steve loved Mountain and loved Leslie West, and we heard Theme for an Imaginary Western from their album Climbing. And surprisingly enough, Steve loved that Steely Dan album Countdown to Ecstasy, and that was another one of those tapes that was in constant play in his Camaro, cruising around, listening at top volume. And we heard Bodhisattva from that. And another one of his favorites was early Thin Lizzy. And that song, the cowboy song. And I remember driving up to the Providence Civic Center to see, how about this for a double bill? Thin Lizzy and Queen. Thin Lizzy opening for Queen. Probably like for $7.50. In fact, I think I kind of remember it was $7.50 a ticket. They don't make double bills like that anymore. And if they did, it would cost you like $75, not $7.50. Anyway, I hope you enjoy tonight's show. I know it's a little different for the Dead Air Radio Show. And by the way, you are in tune to the Dead Air Radio Show, coming to you on WCNI New London, 90.9 FM on your radio dial. We come to you from Connecticut College. My name's Peter. I'm doing a special tribute to my late friend Steve Kaika. I hope you'll bear with me. I hope you'll enjoy it. I promise. Well, no, I won't promise. Maybe I'll get to the end of tonight and think, gee, I need to do this again in a couple of weeks. But I'm kind of doing this for myself, and I'm kind of doing it for Steve. And I hope it's fun for you all. It's fun for me. Like the first hour, for instance, I don't mean like. What I played for the first hour is stuff I remember Steve listening to when I was getting to know him, and stuff he was blasting in his car in his bedroom. And Steve was always, until the end, a much better musician than I was. And I don't say that just because of where we are today. I say that because it's true. But there came a point where we got to a point where I was able to play with him, and I'm forever grateful for that. And for the next maybe 20 minutes or so, I'm going to play some of the first songs that he and I played together. And there had to be a compromise, because it had to be easy enough that I could play it, because Steve was much more advanced than I was. And that was always the case. But we found stuff that we could both play, which meant the guitar parts were simple enough for me, and the bass stuff was satisfactory enough that he was willing to do it. And I don't know, the next 15, 20 minutes, I don't know how far I'll get with this, but these are some of the first songs that he and I played together. And I know this is going to be a blast for me to hear. Okay, I've got another message here. This one's from the Connecticut Hospice. That's the first hospice in America, and they continue to lead the way in providing quality, compassionate care to patients and families who are coping with an advanced or irreversible disease. Hospice home or inpatient care is provided 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for patients of all ages, regardless of the ability to pay. For more information regarding home and inpatient admissions, educational programs, and volunteer opportunities, call 1-800-8-HOSPICE. That's 1-800-8-HOSPICE. The Connecticut Hospice, an open door in a time of need. Call 1-800-846-7423. A good people doing invaluable work. So, keep them in mind, whether you need them or not. I'll tell you what we just heard. I'm just playing, in case you tuned in late, and I know some of you have, I'm playing songs that remind me of my late friend Steve Kaika, and the music that he and I listened to when we were kids. And when I say kids, I mean teenagers. When I first met Steve, we were 16, 17 years old, and we spent a lot of our time listening to records, going and buying records, going and seeing bands, just pursuing music, trying to hear more music, trying to learn more about music. And then eventually trying to play music together. And lo and behold, look what happened. We ended up playing music for 35 years together. which was tremendous. What we just heard there was one of Steve's favorite guys of all time, Andy Frazier, and from a solo project, the Andy Frazier Band. We heard a song called Baby Forever, a band Steve and I found early on called The Babies, featuring a guy named John Waite on guitar, no, I'm sorry, bass and vocals, who kind of reminded us of the guys in Free. The Babies reminded us of kind of a baby Free sort of. And actually, I was just reminiscing with my friend Tom the other day about driving to New York City and seeing The Babies for 66 cents. How unbelievable does that sound these days, going to New York City to see a band for 66 cents? But it's true. That either makes me sound really old or it makes the past just sound unbelievably great. And after The Babies, I played another band Steve and I really dug a lot and listened to a lot called Boxer. Talk about a blast from the past. And I was going to play another song, but I got a phone call from someone from California who was listening and enjoying the show and was a friend of mine and of Steve's. And I played a different song on the album called California Calling, which seemed to fit perfectly. Anyway, that's from an album called Below the Belt. Really cool band called Boxer. They didn't last very long. Another guy Steve always really loved is Ian Hunter from Mott the Hoople, and from a solo album called, I guess just called Ian Hunter, we heard Who Do You Love? After that, from a Joe Walsh solo album called The Smoker You Something, The Player You Get, we heard Rocky Mountain Way, which was kind of an ever-present song for a few years. And speaking of Mott the Hoople, we heard from the album Mott, All the Way from Memphis. It's a little bit past 8 p.m. You're in tune to WCNI, New London, 90.9 FM on your radio dial. I'm two-thirds of my way through this little personal tribute to my late friend Steve. And it seems like everyone's liking it. I'm glad about that. I'm having a good time trolling through my record albums and my memories. I'm going to play a few songs by a guy and a band who Steve and I really enjoyed and always appreciated. Roy Wood and The Move is someone we both loved and continued to appreciate. And the next two or three songs are going to be from one or the other, The Move or Roy Wood, who was the main mover of The Move. Hope you like it. This is Hello, Susie. Okay, I'm going to tell you what we just heard there. I started that set with three songs by Roy Wood from the great album. Well, they're all great. From the album Shazam, we heard Hello, Susie. And, you know, that's kind of I said at the beginning, Steve liked heavy music. Steve was kind of a heavy rock guy. And that Shazam album and The Move in general are just like the definition of heavy. And Hello, Susie, there you have it. It doesn't get heavier than that. The next song, not so much, but a great, great song by Roy Wood, Chinatown. And then from a album on which Roy Wood played every instrument and did all the production and all the singing, an album called Boulders, we heard All the Way Over the Hill. Beautiful, beautiful song. And then a band Steve liked a lot, especially in the early days, and me too, and we went and saw him, Queen. We heard from the Sheer Heart Attack album, Now I'm Here, and from the Day at the Races, or I can't remember, maybe it was Night at the Opera. Yeah, I think it was Night at the Opera. We heard "I'm in Love with My Car." And Steve loved that song, and it made perfect sense that he did. After that, Golden Earring, the title track from an album called Long Blonde Animal. And at the end there, from a band called Nazareth, we heard a song called Holiday. I got about another 30 minutes to go. And what I've been doing tonight is kind of my own personal tribute to my friend Steve, my late friend Steve, and the music we grew up listening to together. And I'm just going to mention this because there could be some speculation, there could be some misinformation. There's a story, and there's a lot of truth in it, that Hugh and I went over to England and witnessed this new thing called punk rock and came back over and tried to lure our friends Steve and Tom into playing this music, and Steve resisted it. And Steve got really tired of that story, and I understand why, because it was a good story to tell too much, and it got blown out of proportion. And I can understand why Steve got sick of that story. But it was true. And Steve didn't care for punk rock at first, and Steve thought it was musically lacking, and Steve thought it was beneath him, and I understand why. And a lot of early punk rock was terrible, especially when you consider all this great music that we'd been listening to. So I understand all that, and Steve was right. But then there came a day when the tide turned, the tables turned, and Steve was won over. And that was a great day for Hugh and me, and it was a great day for the four of us, and the band kind of got its germination then, because Steve came on board this whole idea about the four of us starting a, what we called at the time, a punk rock band, which in the end just became a great, you know, fun rock and roll band. But it all involved, like, winning Steve over to this idea about playing, like, not complicated music, playing kind of simple music that was inspired by this thing that was going on in England. But it took this next band to win Steve over. And I'm glad it worked. Hey folks, as you can tell, I had too many songs to play. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the calls. Hope everyone enjoyed it. It sounds like everyone did. Keep Steve in mind. I know y'all will. I know I will. Keep listening to the music. Keep remembering. And stay tuned to WCNI. New London, 90.9 FM on your radio dial.